word for us. And the Lord had me to share in the early service, and I feel impressed to this service as well to share with you what God placed in my heart this week. In regards to the coming King, the King is coming. How many believe the King is coming? Thank God He's coming. He's coming for me, and I hope you're ready to meet the King. I've got bad news and I got good news for you. Bad news is things aren't going to get any better. You believe things are going to get better? They're not going to get any better. They're going to get worse. But the good news is, in spite of the things getting worse in our world, the good news is Jesus said He's going to be with us through it. That's the good news. That's what He said. He said, in spite of all that's getting worse, it's going to get better one of these days, not maybe here on earth. But the good news is, He said He is going to be faithful. How many believe that you can trust God no matter how tough times get, no matter what difficulty you go through, no matter what hardship we face, we can trust the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand. There are those that will tell us today that things are going to get better and better and better, but it's not going to get better and better. It's not going to. Paul said, and know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, false accusers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Paul said, hey, Timothy, hang on, because things aren't going to get better, they're going to get worse, but God's going to be with you all the way to the very end. So don't misunderstand. Speaking of misunderstanding, did you hear about the man that was celebrating Valentine's Day, he and his wife? How many of you celebrated Valentine's Day last week? Let me see your hand. How many did I need to pray for? Let me see your hand. Amen. Anyway, this man came home and he put a red rose on the top of the counter of the kitchen sink. His wife came in. They'd been married for a while. She saw that red rose on the sink. She said, my husband, he's getting a little romantic in his older age. Don't look at your husband. He said, she walked over there closer to the kitchen. She saw that red rose and she said, oh, I can't believe it. By the time she got over to the sink, she looked down the sink that said, Mildred, please don't touch this rose. I'm using the stem to unclog the sink. The kitchen sink. You'll get it later. Anyway, I want you to know, hey, listen to me. Don't misunderstand. Don't be deceived that Jesus is indeed coming again. And let me tell you this. There are going to be three events we're going to look at today, three events that are going to take place that'll absolutely, it ought to wake up every Christian. It ought to cause us to stand up in a world that's falling down. It ought to cause us to lift up our eyes in a world that's looking down. Three events that are going to take place futuristic. I believe they're right on the brink of these taking place. The King is coming. And there are three events. Here they are before we read our text. You ready to write them down? Here they are. Number one, Israel is hated and will be invaded. Israel is hated and will be invaded. Number one, we'll see that in a moment. And then number two, the King is coming down to the ground. The King is coming down to the ground. And number three, the third event we're going to see in the Bible this morning is this. God's plan will unfold and He will be in total control. He's going to be in total control. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. Zechariah, chapter 14. And for the sake, we don't do this every Sunday. You've been standing for a while, but stand up, would you, as we read the infallible and inerrant word. If you're able, if you're not, you can sit down. We do this in the early service, not that it's anything in itself, but let's just stand together as we read. Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Now, you're well aware there are four apocalyptic books in the Bible. Four. Here they are. Revelation, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then our Bible text today, Zechariah. Before we read the text, you're well aware Zechariah was a priest / prophet during his day, and he was a contemporary, a tag team, if you will, with Haggai. His message was for the people of God when they returned from their captivity to rebuild the temple. Chapters 1 through 8, rebuilding the temple. Encouraging admonishing God's people to rebuild that broken down temple that Nebuchadnezzar had demolished. But then chapters, the rest of the six chapters, not 1 through 8, but rather 8 through 14, deal with after the temple is rebuilt, how the Lord Jesus is coming again and going to sit and reign in his temple. We're reading from Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. If you're there, would you say amen one more time? Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations, underline that, all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Look at verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave, underline that, that means split, shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley. And the half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and the half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Now underline this next phrase. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Skip down to verse 9. Verse 9 of Zechariah chapter 14. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That's where I get the title. The king is coming. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. And God's people said, amen and amen and amen. This is the word of God. May God bless it to our heart today. I've never, that I can recall, preached from Zechariah chapter 14, but God began to speak to my heart this week in regards to some things. I hope you'll be awake. I hope you'll be alert. I hope you'll write down some things. And I hope you, like me, will say, praise God, I have that blessed assurance. I have peace that passes understanding. I'm saved by the grace of God. I hope you know that today. I hope that you're waiting and watching and ready for the coming of the Lord. I hope your house is in order. I hope that you've not gone AWOL on God, because I'm telling you, events are shaping up. We are swiftly moving toward this imminent return. The word imminent means cloud. Clouds impending, clouds looming, yea, clouds hanging overhead. The Lord is coming back again. Don't know when, Matthew 24:36, but I know this, it's sooner than it was when I got up this morning. Let's pray together and ask God to bless our heart as we get in the Word of God this morning. Father, we come and thank you for the time of praise and worship. We thank you, Lord, for our ears have heard. Man, our God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father. It's just been, Lord, I was going to just talk to you like I talked to my friends. It's just been great, God. It's just been wonderful. And my heart, and especially singing about, Lord, these are the days of Elijah, and there's no God like Jehovah. And I pray somehow, Lord, you'll lift us up, and somehow, God, today, breathe heaven's breath on us. Father, get us out of our stupor. Get us out of our slumber. Get us out of our... Father, I pray, God, that you'll help us as your people, Father, to be watching and waiting, and Father, be at our post of duty, and Lord, reaching out to the lost, and serving you with gladness and making a difference while we have time. I thank you, Lord, for the things that are going on right before our very eyes in our world. I pray you'll open our eyes today to see Jesus. Open our hearts today to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, eternal written word of God, and change us, Lord, from glory to glory and from faith to faith. We bless you for the great love you have for us. We thank you, Lord, you hadn't left us in the dark. You hadn't left us wondering what's going to happen. You've recorded it through Holy Scripture penned thousands of years ago. And God, we can glean from it. And we can, our God, anticipate hearing the trumpet and being caught away. And then, Lord, the events unfolding before our very eyes. I pray you'll prepare us this day, and you'll get glory this day, and hearts will be refreshed and encouraged through your word and through your spirit, and we'll give you the praise. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' lovely name. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Three events as you take your seat. Three events. Number one, Israel will be hated and invaded. That's found in verses 1 and 2. Secondly, down to the ground. That's found in verses 3 and 4. And then finally, the third event that will unfold is this, namely, that the God's plan will unfold and He will be in total control. That's found in verse 9. Read verse 1 and 2 again with me. Israel will be hated and invaded. Israel will be hated and invaded. Verses 1 and 2 of Zechariah 14, one more time. Behold, the day of the Lord. And anytime you see the day of the Lord, you need to ask yourself the question, when is He talking about? The day of the Lord is not the same thing as the rapture. The day of the Lord is when God comes back in glory and power. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief of the night, according to Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Look at verse 2. For I will gather all nations. Let's say that together. All nations. Say it again. All nations. One more time. All nations against Jerusalem. Note that. God said the nations hate Jerusalem. By the way, you know why the nations hate Israel? You know why our world hates Israel? It's because that's where God chose to bring forth the Savior of the world, Israel. God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God brought our Redeemer out of Israel, and the world hates Israel. And I pray that God will help us as a nation stand and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I can't hear you. God help us. The Bible says He'll bless those that bless His people. He'll curse those that curse His people. Hear me now. Verse number 2. Again, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to do what? To battle. Why? And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Number 1, Israel will be hated and invaded. I want to tell you something that I didn't say, but the Secretary of State of the United States of America said. His name? Leon Panetta. Recently stated, Israel will attack Iran in the month of April or May or June. Write it down. I didn't say it. The Secretary of State of the United States of America said it. Now, if that doesn't mean anything to you, let me back up and just simply say this. America has tried to downplay the conflict, the animosity, yea, the tension between Iran and Israel. And we have taken a back seat, and in fact, God help us in these days, but for the United States Secretary of State to say a statement like that, folks, I'm telling you, we're right around the corner. I didn't say it, he did. In fact, I read here over the last day or two, Israel has recently put ships in that Strait of Hormuz, that strategic place over in the Middle East, that oil is exported and oil is taken. And then the Iranians just recently have also put their ships right in that same area, as well as United States have put several aircraft carriers in that particular place. Israel will be hated and will be invaded. And I don't have time today to but simply allude to the passage. We know that Israel will be invaded by a coalition of Islamic nations. Where do you get that, Brother Pastor? Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 describes that. And we won't have time to look at that right now. I want you to come back tonight and we'll dive maybe a little bit deeper in this subject. But in Ezekiel 38 and 39, listen to me. Here's some Islamic nations. Now listen to the names of these nations that will invade Israel. Now, some say it could be in the beginning of the tribulation. Others say it'll be in the mid-tribulation. Others say it'll be at the perhaps the latter part of the tribulation. Others say, no, even before the great tribulation begins, this event will take place. It really, frankly, doesn't matter to me when it takes place. The fact is, it's going to take place. How many believe that you can believe the Bible when God says He's going to do something, He's going to do it? Listen to these nations. Syria, Egypt, Russia, Ukraine, Turkey was just in the news today. Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Iran, Somalia, Ethiopia, and Libya. Those countries will invade Israel from the north, according to Ezekiel 38:39. Now, I know what you're thinking, and we don't have time to get into the passages that deal with some of the other implications, Isaiah 17, and the fact of some suggest that even Ezekiel chapter 35 is a reference to an invasion, Psalm 83. We've looked at it in the past, but I'm saying this is going to take place. Israel is hated and will be invaded. These are Islamic nations. Make no mistake about it. They hate Israel. In fact, those nations that I just mentioned, Syria, right now is on the brink of an overthrow. Assad, the president. In fact, I read here just the last couple of days that some suggest that Assad, the president of Syria, is going to launch an attack against Israel just before his regime goes under. The Muslim Brotherhood is rising up in Syria, and it looks like it's just going to be a matter of time. What takes place in Syria, what just took place in Egypt less than a year ago, and what took place in Libya less than a year ago with the overthrow of Gaddafi, and then Egypt. Now in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood is the dominant governing force in Egypt. At one time, when Sadat and some of these king of Egypt, there was a friendly relationship between Egypt and Israel. No longer. Mark it down. It's later than you think. The world is shaping up. God says this stuff's going to come to pass. It's all going to boil down to this. The king is coming. Let me ask you a question. Have you got assurance today? Let me ask you a question. Are you at peace today? Are you troubled in your mind? Do you know that if you die, you'd go to heaven? Let me ask you this. Are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life in the light of all these world current events? What is your relationship with God? I'm telling you, these events are going to take place. Israel is hated and invaded. You take Russia, who will invade Israel from the north, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. I wish we had time to deal with the hook in the jaw and all the walled cities and all of that. When Israel will be at a time leading up to the Battle of Armageddon, peace and safety, lay down her arms, according to many Bible scholars, it will be the very pivotal point when the Antichrist confirmed that covenant with the Jewish people, only to break it and all hell break loose. Syria, Egypt, Russia, Ukraine, Turkey. Turkey now is at odds with Israel. You know, an incident happened just a few months ago. Turkish people were killed. Israel, and Israel's right in the middle of that. Now Turkey has got the pressure. I'm talking about things Israel is hated and will be invaded. I don't need to tell you about this madman over in Iran named Ahmadinejad. He's building a nuclear weapons. I mean, there's no question about it. Some say, well, surely sanctions will slow this process down. Well, according to even today, he has said it hadn't slowed them down at all. Sanctions in the England and EU, European, America supposedly played little games with these folks. They don't play games, folks. That man, he's a madman. He's going to attempt to blow up and obliterate Israel off the map. And guess what? He'd love to do America the same way. I'm talking about is setting up. I'm talking about the king is coming. I'm talking about you better open your eyes. I'm talking about it's later than you think. I'm talking about be also ready, for you think not the hour the Son of Man comes. And then not only that, Afghanistan, the overthrow, and all of you and some of you have served in those countries, Sudan, and look at the horrible massacre of Christians in Sudan. I mean, just thousands and thousands of Christians martyred for their faith in the Word of God. And Libya and Somalia and some of these other countries that was mentioned. These nations will invade Israel. And guess what? Nobody can stop them. God said it's going to happen. Speaking of stopping them, did you hear about the old boy that decided to ride a horse? But this horse wouldn't go like regular commands on it. How many of you ever ridden a horse? Let me see your hand. How many wish you wouldn't? Let me see your hand. This man got on a horse and he would not go by normal commands, by giddy up. He wouldn't go. He wouldn't stop by saying whoa. They said, man, don't you know this is a Christian horse? He said, okay. He said, what are my commands? Why should I get this horse to go? He said, what you need to do when you get ready to go, say, Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Man, that horse will get up and go. And then he said, when you get ready to stop, he said, what am I to say? Am I to say, whoa? He said, no, don't you say, whoa. Say, amen. Amen. That horse will stop. So the man said, all right, I can do it. He hopped on that horse. Man, he said, giddy up, giddy up. The horse didn't go an inch. Come on, giddy up. The horse wouldn't go an inch. Finally, he said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise the Lord. That horse took off running. Man, racing, racing and running and running and running. That man was holding on for dear life. And about that time, the horse was going up, running, running, running. And the man saw there was a cliff. There was a precipice that dropped down hundreds of feet. He said, oh, my, what am I going to do? He said, whoa, whoa, whoa to the horse. The horse wouldn't obey. The horse wouldn't listen. And all of a sudden, it dawned on him. Hey, wait a minute. I've got to say amen. Right at the edge of the cliff. The man said, shoo, praise the Lord. I want you to know that nobody can stop the nations from invading Israel. Number one, Israel will be invaded and Israel is hated. Can I tell you something? See if you agree with me. I'm going to tell you Christians are hated and are being invaded. I know I'm not going to get much help this morning, but that's all right. I'm going to go ahead and preach it anyway. Christians are being hated and will be invaded. Paul said, he said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And over and again in the Word of God, the Bible says that Christians, Jesus Christ, suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. We are hated. Can y'all hear me okay? Christians are hated and will be invaded by the world, by the flesh, and by the devil. The world's methodology and the world's strategy and the devil's strategy is to change the way you think, to invade your home, to invade your life, to invade your family. And no wonder Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm talking about the world invading our minds, our homes. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. No wonder John said, he said, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 following. No wonder James said, friendship with the world is enmity against God. Therefore, whosoever wishes to be a friend of this world makes himself an enemy of God. No wonder John says the key to winning the victory over the world. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Whatsoever is born of God, listen to me, see if you agree, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Hey, listen to me. Y'all, can y'all hear me? The world, Hollywood, has a different gospel message. I don't know if Whitney Houston is in heaven or not, but I know this. If she wasn't really born of the Spirit of God, she's in hell today. I can't hear you. I'm telling you, Hollywood says, well, all you got to do is come to church and sing when you're a little girl or a little boy and just come to church and give God lip service, but don't really get right with God. Don't really give your heart and life to Jesus. Don't just, just come and sit in the church and just be a good church member. And Hollywood says you're going to heaven, but God says you must be born again. I want you to listen to young people come sitting in church and thinking you're going to heaven just because you're sitting in church or singing a song. You had been deceived. You had better get Jesus in your heart. And by the way, I'm not saying you can't drift from God. I'm not saying you can't get backslidden from God. But I'm saying this. You can't do it and enjoy it. I'm telling you, God, the Holy Ghost is going to chastise his own people. Why am I saying this, Brother Pastor? Because there's a whole lot of false gospels being propagated in our world today. It's time we get back to the Bible. Amen and amen and amen. Israel is hated and be invaded. Christians are hated and will be invaded. The devil would love to eat your lunch. Can y'all hear me? I said the devil would love to ruin your life and wreck your life. He's good about that. Hey, I'm going to say something as kind as I know how to say. Have y'all heard about the latest shenanigans of our president and his administration? I said, have you heard the latest shenanigans? I'm talking about Christians being hated and invaded. We ought to pray for our president. I believe that. But listen, friend, I can't go along. Have you heard about the latest birth control policy that is mandated that God's people embrace it and do it, and whether you like it or not, it's in your face, and we don't care how you feel, or we don't care how you think, and we don't care about being a Bible-believing, God-fearing, blood-washed child of God. The latest incident that's happened in Washington over the last week or two, was this, that now, hear me now, these Christian organizations and colleges, hospitals, even charitable institutions, non-profit organizations, not church, but cottages and hospitals, now are demanded, mandatory, as this new latest policy states, mandatory to provide health care, birth control, morning after pill, abortion, all of that stuff that you may agree or may not agree with, hopefully you don't agree with. Now it is going to be a law that the employer provides free of charge to all the employees. And by the way, in case you're wondering what am I talking about, I'm talking about that absolutely insidious and absolutely ridiculous statement. Well, they come out and say, when this all came to light about a week or two ago, well, it offends the Catholics. Guess what? It doesn't just offend the Catholics, it offends every child of God. I can't hear you. And so now the change, the compromise so-called, now says, all right, well, now we're going to back up, and now we're going to not require the employer to provide all of this mess that we don't believe in, Planned Parenthood and all these other lobbying groups are pumping down. But now what we're going to do is we're going to say the health insurance companies are going to provide all of this stuff free of charge. That's supposedly the compromise. Read my lips. We're not stupid. We're not dumb. We know when health care goes up, guess who ends up paying for it? You do, and you do, and you do, and I do. Friend, it's coming out of your pocket, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not. The government's saying in your face, we're going to get our way. We don't care what it takes and what it means. And I'm telling you, hear me, child of God, today, it's time that we stand up and say, bless God, we are not going to bow down to the government. The government's not God. God's God. Amen and amen and amen. We don't have a mandate to salute and worship the government. Why, no? We are from our alien and sojourners in a land. We are following the captain of our salvation. And guess what? I don't care what the White House says or the government says. We have got a standard right here. We've got a precious living word of God. We are under the bloodstained banner of the cross. And we had better stay with the scriptures, because let God be true and every man a liar. It's time for the church to rise up and say enough is enough. We will not go along. We will not get along. We will not shut up. We will not back up. We will not let up until we're caught up. Amen and amen and amen. Y'all can just sit back if you want to. That's our problem with America. We sat back too long. Amen. And not taking a stand. I'm telling you, God says, we're marching through this old land of Zion, and one day we're going to be rewarded. One day we're going to be taken up in glory to heaven, but not yet. Israel will be hated, and we'll be invaded. And then I got a call this week, speaking of being hated. A man told me this week, he and his wife, he said, man, we're under battle. What is the battle? He said, man, we had a person to move in our property. They built a nice home. And now somebody who's really a tool in the devil's hand. You know, the devil will try to use people to get you stirred up and get you angry. I can't hear you. And get you resentful. The devil try to use people. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He'll try to use people to get to you, to get you to take your eyes off Jesus and get bitter and resentful. And this man told me, he said, man, this is what's happening. Somebody built a shack. A dilapidated pole barn, if you will, boards haphazardly put together, a top over it that looks just like an eyesore, right next to this nice home. I mean, it just looks, it's right by the property. By federal law, they can access that property because that's what the federal law says. And furthermore, it's right up against the fence, and they can't even paint the fence. I'm talking about Christians will be invaded and will be hated. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I reckon that the present suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. We are hated because of our love for the Bible. We're hated, despised, and this world is not a friend of grace, but praise God, help us to be faithful to the finish. Can I get an amen? Y'all don't want to talk to me. That's all right. That's all right.
there's a second event that's going to take place you need to know about. Leading up, ushering in, setting the stage for the king to come again. Not only will Israel be hated and invaded, secondly, the king will come down to the ground. The king will come down to the ground. Look at verse 3 and 4. Look at verse 3 and 4 of Zechariah chapter 14. Then shall the Lord go forth after these nations have attacked. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave. That is, be torn in two, split wide open. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley, and the half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it to the south, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee like as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. The king will come down to the ground. Now the two parts to this part, two parts. Number one, the king will come down to conquer his enemies' hostilities. The king will come down to conquer his enemies' hostilities. Number two, not only will the king come down to conquer his enemies' hostilities, but the king will come down to display his majesty and glory. The king will come down to display his majesty and glory. Verses 3 and 4. First, the king will come down to conquer the hostilities of his enemies. I believe all of this, no doubt, is leading up to the battle of all battles called the Battle of Armageddon. But however, here is an event where Jesus comes back to conquer the hostilities of his enemies. And then I want you to notice, he displays his majesty and glory. What's going to happen? What's it going to be like when the king comes again? The king is coming. Oh, yes, the king is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. He's coming for me. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to step on that Mount of Olives. Guess what? That's where he left when he ascended into heaven. After he'd been raised from the dead, appeared between 40 different appearances or 10 different appearances in 40 days, and he went to the Mount of Olives. He lifted up his hands. He said to the disciples, remember the Great Commission? Do you remember the Great Commission? How many know the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He lifted up his hands and he ascended. That is, he went back to heaven. The angel stood by and said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing upward? This same Jesus, Acts 1:11, this same Jesus will come in like manner. And that's the fulfillment of Zechariah 14. In fact, that's the fulfillment, says John, over in Revelation chapter 19. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him is called Faithful and True. Watch this now. There's a difference in the rapture and the revelation. The rapture, of course, is that event, and I believe it can happen any moment. The rapture, of course, is that great getting up morning. It's the snatching away of the bride of Christ. It's that found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us that reign shall be caught up together with the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord. Also, it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the rapture. That's the great getting up morning. That's when the church will be ushered out. And by the way, there are different opinions about the rapture. I'm well aware of that. Theologians are not absolutely in unity about this. Some say it'll happen prior to the Great Tribulation. Some say it'll happen mid-trib. Some say post-trib. I'm a pre-trib. I believe it'll happen before, but I don't have time to get into that all right now. Whether it happens before or middle or after, praise God, it'll be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. But wait a minute. And here's what's going to take place. After the rapture of the church, the great getting up morning, when the dead rise first, Abraham's going to say, honey, Sarah, it's time to get up. After that takes place, tribulation, hell on earth will take place. Then the Lord's going to come back again. And what we call the revelation, the coming in glory and power. By the way, that is described in Matthew chapter 24. It's not the rapture described in Matthew 24, although those signs certainly are indicative of the rapture. But Matthew 24 is really a depiction and a description of the second coming of Jesus in glory and power, as mentioned also in other texts. What's it going to be like? I'll tell you what it's going to be like. When the Lord comes back, He's going to step, watch this, He's going to step on that Mount of Olives. That thing's going to split wide open. You say, what's the big deal? Can I tell you what the big deal is? When the Mount of Olives splits, you know what's going to happen? It's going to create a great big valley. Guess what that valley's called? The Valley of Jezreel. The Valley of Jezreel. Napoleon, it was, said concerning the Valley of Jezreel, that is the most strategic, perfect battlefield in all the world. After the Lord comes back, and as verse 3 and 4 we read, the mountain will be rent or torn, will be divided. Do you know how big this valley is going to be? Guess how? 1,000 square miles. 167 square miles long. 167 square miles long. 14 square miles wide. I'm telling the armies of the east, according to Revelation 9. The armies of the east, according to Revelation 16. And Revelation 14 are going to merge in the Valley of Jezreel. That's what's going to take place. When the Lord comes back, He's going to fight the battle, as He does in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and rains fire, and the earth quakes, and God intervenes. How many believe one plus God's always a majority? I'm talking about the King's coming. There's a battle. There's a battle. There's a battle. There's a battle. And speaking of, don't be deceived about this battle. Did you hear about the man that was an antique perfectionist? He knew antiques forward and backwards, inside and outside. He went to a flea market, and this man walked up to this flea market. He had studied antiques and been in antiques business for years and years and years. He saw in this flea market, as he walked in, a cat, C-A-T, cat, drinking from a bowl of milk. He looked at that bowl, and one glance, he saw that was one of the most expensive bowls a person could ever have, worth thousands of dollars, and a cat is lapping milk out of that bowl. He said, I know what I'll do. He said to the owner, he said, sir, I got some mice around my house, and how about that cat? Will you sell me that cat? He said, yes, sir, I'll sell you that cat. He said, how much you want for that cat? He said, $20. He reached in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill. That's a $10 bill. Amen. Somebody help me. He reached out and pulled out a $20 bill, and he said, here. And then as he was reaching down to pick up the cat, he said, by the way, that bowl's not any good. That cat's just drinking that from that bowl. Can I just take that bowl with me? The owner said, put it down. Put that bowl down. He said, I've sold 68 cats today because of that bowl. I want you to know the devil's slick. But wait a minute. Is there anybody here facing a battle? Jesus is coming back, and there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle. I got a call this week from a man, a dear brother. Hear me. A dear brother. A brother in the Lord. Loves the Lord. He said this. I answered the phone. I said, hello. He said, brother, I'm in a battle. I said, really? He said, I'm in a battle. I said, really? He said, man, the devil's unleashing an all-out attack upon me and my family. I need some help. I need somebody to get a hold of God. How many know that when you're in a battle, you need somebody to stand with you? Is there anybody here that'll come together and say, brother, sister, I'll stand with you today. I know you're in a battle, but wait a minute, the battle's the Lord. I'll stand with you in the battle. And God gave me grace as I talked with that dear brother. I said, man, my brother, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Some of you today are battling depression. Some of you today are battling stress and depression. Some of you today are battling anxiety and fear. Some of us are today battling the principalities and powers. The enemy's coming to our home. The enemy's trying to wreck our life and our marriages. Oh, but I want to tell you, brother, you stand strong in the Lord. God said to Joshua, have I not commanded to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? Oh yeah. And as I said, "My brother, listen, the Bible says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Let's agree together. Pray for God to fight this battle for you. I'm talking about the king's coming. I'm talking about there's going to be a battle going on." Is there anybody here that a battle's been raging? Is there anybody here the enemy has tried to lie to you and the devil has tried to wreck and ruin and kill and destroy? Some of us today need to break free and say, as Brother Boyd prayed a moment ago, "There's been a wall erected between me and my wife, or me and my husband, or me and my children, or me and my friends, and God can tear down the wall. I believe there's power in the blood of the Lamb. I believe there's power in the cross. I believe God's got more power than the devil." Do you believe that? Woo! Glory to His name. Jesus will come down to the ground, display His glory and His majesty. That leads us to the third and final event that takes place in Zechariah chapter 14. And it's this, namely, God will unfold. God Almighty will unfold. His plan will unfold, and He will be in total control. He'll be in control. Look at verse 9 one more time. Zechariah chapter 14. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Lord, His name one." Have things gotten out of your control? Have things gotten out of your control? Oh, I know, we're not in control. We want to think we're in control, but we're not in control. But that's all right. When things get out of our control, praise God, we can let God, the Lord Jesus, control. Amen? We can put Him in control. Why don't you let Jesus be in control? I know you've tried to fix those problems. I know you're trying to figure everything out. But why don't you just say, "Lord, I can't control this, but I'm going to let You control this." You see, when the Lord comes back again, the king's going to come and His plan will unfold and He is going to be in control. I'm glad to tell you, our God's in control. You know that He's in control. How many believe that the Lord's in control? Will you let Him take control today? Will you do it? You say, "But I've been anxious. I've been worried about this thing and I can't fix it and I don't know what I'm going to do." Let Him take control. I'm telling you, I love the story. I believe it was Robert Louis Stevens. Have you ever heard that name? Some of you young people know that name, don't you? Y'all know that name in school. Hello, where were you in English class? Amen. Anyway, he wrote a poem or a short story, and here's what he said. There were sailors out to ship. I'm talking about God being in control. I'm talking about the king coming. And there was a ship out to sea. The sailors were terrified. The sailors were afraid. And all of a sudden, one of them said, "I'm going to go up to the upper deck to see the captain. I've got to see the captain." The ship was in a terrible storm. It was being tossed to and fro. The waves were beating and dashing against the boat. The sailors were terrified. They said, "Man, we're going to sink," like that Costa Concordia did not long ago. And so one sailor said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up the upper deck." And he made his way up to the upper deck with that ship being tossed. And he took one glance. He took one glance at the captain, and he saw the captain's face. And the captain had a smile on his face. He had a smile on his face. And the sailor said, as he saw the captain was in control, he had everything under control, the sailor went down to the lower deck and said, "I've seen the captain. I've seen his face. He's smiling. He's got everything under control." Can I tell you, today we just need to look to the captain of our salvation. He's got everything. He's got everything under control. Will you look to Him now? I want to share with you a few more things and I'll be done briefly. Here's our response to the message. Number one, many will not be ready when the king comes. Are you ready for the coming of the king? Many will not be ready when the king comes. Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter 25. He said this in regards to the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were unwise. 5 of them were wise. 5 of them had their lamps and oil in their lamps, and their oil, and not only their oil, but their lamps were trimmed, the wick. They were ready for the bridegroom to come. 5 virgins ready. They were watching. They were ready. They were prepared when the bridegroom came. On the other hand, there were 5 that were foolish. They didn't get oil in their lamps. They weren't prepared. You know what I say? I hate to say this, but I see a lot of Christians today, none prepared for the king to come back. We've been preoccupied about this, preoccupied about that. But those five, tell me today, do you have the oil in your lamp? Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Do you ready? Are you ready for the kingdom? Oh, you say, oh, Brother Pastor, you've been preaching about this. People have been preaching about this for a long time. Whether the Lord comes back or not, we're all going to meet death. I can't hear you. You're going to die one day. I'm going to die one day. Is your house in order? There's some going to be prepared. Number two, there are going to be some like in the days of Noah. Eating and drinking, Jesus said that in Matthew 24. As in the days of the Noah, so shall be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Carousing, no care, no, just life comes around once. It bothers me. It ought to bother us. It ought to burden us. It ought to cause us to say, oh God, help us while there's time. Help us while there's light. Help us, Lord, while we got breath, to be concerned about our friends, about our neighbors, about our family, that they might get in the fold before it's eternally too late. How many believe that people that still die without God, without Jesus, go to a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched? It's still in the Bible. I know today we want to think everybody goes to heaven when they die. They don't. Jesus made it clear. Rich man died and went to hell. And Lazarus, the poor man, died and went to heaven. I mean, God's word is true about that. But here's somewhere where you might be caught. Number three, when the king comes again, some will not be prepared. Some will be as in the days of Noah. Number three, some will be paralyzed with fear. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, in the last days, some's hearts will be failing them for fear. Listen to me. Y'all hear me? Well, what are we going to do if a certain person gets nominated president? I know what we're going to do. We're going to keep serving God. I can't hear you. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I know what I'm going to do. I'm here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. Don't be sidetracked with what's going on in the world. Yes, we ought to be light. Yes, we ought to be salt. But praise God, we are here to be carry out our destiny. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom such a time as this. Fear. Well, what? How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to pay my bills? What about the future? What about college? What about health? What about health care? What about the economy? Hey, are you paralyzed with fear? Jesus said that's what's going to happen in the last days. People are going to be paralyzed with fear. You know what? Hey, listen to me, folks. I don't know how this is going to sound, but I'll be honest with you. At a time like this, in the throes of our nation, with the apostasy and the immorality and the things going on in our nation, it seems, watch this, it seems like this place would be packed out, packed out, packed out, packed out. I can't hear you. What in the world's going on? I'm telling you. Jesus said, straight and narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life, and few there be that find it. There's a world out there that's paralyzed with fear. We got the good news. Praise God. We got the good news. And are you afraid? Look up. And then, fourth and finally, Jesus said, not only in the last days, Luke 21, some will be heart failing them for fear. Number four, some will be stressed and depressed. Have you been stressed these days? Have you? Stressed these days and depressed? Can I suggest something to you? We have been blessed. Instead of being stressed and depressed, we have been blessed. I can't hear you. If we'll just start thanking God, if we'll just start praising the Lord, if we'll just get out of the prison of depression and doubt and fear and just start saying, God, you sure have been good to me. I don't know about anybody here, but I can give a testimony that God sure been good to me. I don't deserve it, but praise God, His grace has brought me safe thus far, and His grace is going to lead us on home. Amen and amen and amen. Bless His holy name. Oh, yeah, yeah. We've been blessed, too blessed to be stressed and depressed, hadn't we? We really have. I know we all get stressed at times. The King's coming. The King's coming. Have you got that blessed assurance? You know that you know that you know. The King's coming. Are you ready for the King to come?